Welcome to the Shakeout Podcast. I'm your host, Kate Van Buskirk. Each week, Canadian running staff writer Maddie Kelly and I bring you the news, results, and drama from the exciting world of running. This is The Rundown. Maddie, you're coming to us from your new digs today. I haven't really gotten the virtual tour yet, but I can tell that you're on a different wall than you usually sit against.
I am still white. But yes, we're in our new house. It is beautiful. We have way too much stuff. We need to get rid of a lot of it still. Like, we're going from a place that was huge to a smaller spot, but I would say, like, this place is objectively much nicer, and, like, I'm so thrilled with how it looks. We just realized that, like, we have, like, astronomical amounts of stuff between the two of us, and we got up, like, we were, like, we gave a bunch of stuff away before, and we were, like, we did such a good job. It's gonna be easy. And then we have put all our stuff in here, and we have realized that we did not do a good job. We need to get rid of way more stuff. And if we can't fit in this apartment, it's not because the apartment is too small. It's a really good size. It is indicative of the fact that we just have too much shit. So we're working on it.
It's a good realization. Yeah. I find that I know that probably every 20-something-year-old has a similar story, but I feel like I moved so many times in my 20s that it reminded me constantly. Like, every time I moved, I just had to, like, get rid of stuff. And it wasn't always that I was downgrading in size from living space to living space. But it was just such a pain in the butt to have to pack up all this stuff. And it also was always a reminder of, like, oh yeah, I have this thing that I haven't used in 2 years, you know?
I was packing my clothes and I was like, I wear 5% of my clothes.
Yeah, but I feel like this is not a good indication of...
Yeah, it's true.
This is not a good time to be judging whether you should keep your, like, elements of your wardrobe.
Yeah, be pitching clothes left, right, and center, and then realize when you want to get dressed again that you're like, oh, I threw it all out.
When this pandemic does end, I know my partner and I say this all the time. We're like, okay, time to take off our sleeping sweatpants and put on our working sweatpants.
Yeah.
I haven't put on a pair of jeans in I don't know how long, but there will be an opportunity to wear them again in my lifetime. I am very certain of this.
I know. And I have like 12 pairs of jeans, so there better be.
Well, I'm very happy for you, your boyfriend, and your 12 pairs of jeans in your new place.
Thank you. They're getting settled in nicely. Those pairs of jeans. Yeah, thank you. It is not ideal to move in February during a pandemic, but we did it.
And congrats.
I think long term, we'll love living in this place.
Good. That's great. Now the fun begins. Now you can, like, decorate and make it your own. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Go from house to home, if you will.
Ah, lovely. That's great. Well, I'm very happy for you. It's Monday on our day of recording. Tell us about your weekend. You started it with a race on Friday, the second in the Athletics Ontario Friday Night Racing Series.
Yeah, I called it like the Lucia Maddie Invitational.
Nice.
But it is for more people than just Lucia and Maddie going forward. We were just the first two to do it.
Right. The OGs, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about it.
So Friday was sort of supposed to be a race set up for me. I love running the 1K. It's one of my favorite events. And so
you're the second fastest Canadian in history in that event, going under the old Canadian record last year when you ran that personal best.
That is true.
Yes.
It's a fact.
It is.
So yeah, Friday was sort of billed as, like, you know, Lucia running for me to help me. I had not anticipated how stressful moving during a pandemic in February would be. And so perhaps that wasn't the perfect race setup. So I was already going into this event, I would say, a little bit drained, possibly, you know, not possibly, I'll cop to it. Bad brain week for me. Didn't feel good. Anxious. Not at my best. I would say low on resiliency. But I woke up on Friday and I was like, we're going to make the best of this because these are rare opportunities and you love doing this, yada, yada, yada. So I go to leave for the race, turn on my car. Friday was a really bad snowstorm in Hamilton, like blowing snow.
The stuff where it's coming down sideways and you can't see your neighbor across the street.
Exactly. Bingo.
Yeah.
So it was really snowing and I turn on my car and the windshield wiper just flies off.
It flew off. I've never seen that happen. Crazy.
Gone. And I go, not great. Okay, but we're not going to panic. You know, we're going to keep things, we're going to keep it cool. We're going to keep it chill. You are chill. So I call my friend Emily. She lives 6 minutes from me. And I say, you have 6 minutes notice. I need your car. And she says, great, I'll get it ready. So
that's
I get
friend.
To her. Yeah, she's a very good friend. So I get to her house. She's scraping her car from me. And she goes, heads up, there's no gas. Like 20K to empty. And I was like, not ideal. But, you know, you had 6 minutes notice. So, you know, not your fault. So I go to get gas. And I'm at the gas station. And I'm trying to get the gas cap open. Pulling on the thing. It's not opening. It's frozen. So I'm scraping it. I'm pouring like the windshield fluid. Like I'm just like sort of like rubbing it with the thing you scrub your windshield with. It's not coming undone. I'm like, ugh, I have my pre-race coffee. So I just dump my coffee over the gas cap because I'm like, well, you know, whatever. I won't be caffeinated, but it's boiling water and I'll get to the race. So it opened. The coffee melts the ice. It opens. Two thumbs up. I pump the gas. I drive away. As I'm driving away, there's a woman chasing me, flailing her arms. And when anytime someone is chasing you, flailing their arms, you should stop.
Right. Especially away from a gas station.
Yeah. So I stop and she explains to me that I just stole $70 of gas because I had paid. And then by the all the rigmarole with trying to get the cap open, my session had timed out. So I had, in fact, stolen gas. So I go park the car. I go in. I go to pay her. And I realize I don't have my wallet. I had paid with tap outside. So I pay with tap again inside. And I'm going, you know, you're not really supposed to drive without a wallet. So I'm driving and I'm speeding because I am late. And I get pulled over. And I just want to remind everyone, it's not my car. I have no form of identification. And I'm looking at a police officer.
Maddie.
And at this point, I'm sobbing. Like, I am inconsolable. I have an email from the Government of Canada that I show the police officer stating that I am Madeline Kelly. I am training for the upcoming Olympics. You know, fingers crossed, knock on wood. I have permission to travel, blah, 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 blah. And I just show this to him and I'm like, this is my first race in a year. I'm going to be late. I will slow down. I promise. Like, I just copped to everything. I was like, not my car, no wallet, worst day ever. I'm so sorry. I will slow down. I can't afford this ticket. I really need to get going. And he was just like, never heard that one before. And just like sent me on my way.
Oh, Maddie.
So by the time I got to the race, I was cooked. Like, just fried.
I can't believe you raced after all of this ordeal. This is like a scene out of a bad comedy or something.
Yeah, no, it felt that way.
Oh, dude. So now your nervous system is through the roof. You're just shot.
Oh, I'm just shot. I had nothing to give. And now I have a sense of humor about it because it's insane. It's an insane story.
Right. I think if one of those things had happened to me, it would have like increased my blood pressure enough to have probably affected my performance. But that combination of elements, it's...
And this all like, so I need like timeline. This sounds like hours. This was 40 minutes. Like from when I realized the windshield wiper was, pardon my French, fucked, to when I was pulled over. 40 minutes.
And you made it to the track.
Yeah, I only ended up being like 10 minutes late. I'd left pretty early, thank God. So I wasn't that late. But again, like we talked about last week, there's like a very specific window of time you have. So like there isn't, even though it's just Lucy and I running, there just isn't that much time to play with because we have to get out because other people are coming in after us. And you can't be like over capacity. So it ended up like, obviously we had a little, I left early. The 10 minutes wasn't ideal, but we still, I had like, you know, like arrive, like basically pulling in the parking lot to gun was an hour, which is tight, but doable. And the race was bad. It was predictably bad.
Are you one of these? I think like, I guess I'm, you know, the eternal optimist looking for the silver lining. And I think that like you use the word resiliency. And I think this is the kind of thing that like in the long run will help build that a little bit, but also it's always a little more helpful when you have a reason why the race goes poorly. Like, if you had run Because, well, maybe you should. What was the outcome of the race?
I ran a 2:44 1 kilometer, which for context is 7 seconds slower than my personal best and a time I ran in third year.
And the time that you paced Lucia through her 1500.
A kilometer a week right. earlier.
Okay.
So far from my goal. I remain to believe I am in shape to set a Canadian record on the right day, which would be, 2:37 flat, 2:36 high on the right day.
Those being the operative words.
Yes. So it was
not
it
a day where you were in a Mr. Bean movie.
No. So it was a big letdown, but I think I knew waking up Friday morning that I was really going to have to like pull something out of me to have a good race to begin with. Cause like I said, I had had a bad week emotionally. I just like, and this isn't, you know, this is not a sob story. Everyone's going through this, but I think it's important to be frank sometimes that COVID's getting me down. And I had really felt it this week. It was not a perfect setup, but I thought like, I'm going to have a good day today. I'm going to make the best of it. And honestly, I think that I would have been able to do that had all that stuff not gone wrong. Or I think if I had had a good week and then all that stuff had gone wrong, I would have been able to deal with it. But like I said, I just think I was, and that's why I was so sad after, is because like, I feel like prime Maddie can deal with the Mr. Bean scenarios, plural I found myself in. But I did not feel like Maddie at my best. So that's why it was particularly upsetting. Anyway, that's me. We all have bad days, you know?
We do. It's a good lesson. And a lot, like, it's kind of what we always talk about in running. You control the controllables. And a lot of this was out of your control and the results were what they were. But I'm glad that you're a few days removed now and you're getting settled into your beautiful new place. Mm-hmm. And there, you will live to fight another day. There will be more races.
And for now, it's a story to tell.
There you go. Well, thanks for sharing it. And I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, no prob. You know, we gotta talk about the stuff that's not so cute.
It's true. It's true. These are the things that get you to the cute races.
Yeah, Cole's notes, I had a bad day and I sucked at running, and then we move on.
Well, do you want to take us through
people who had good weeks?
I don't know if this is adding salt to your wound or
No. Listen, I've had a good weekend before too, and I'm sure someone has had bad, you know?
We've all been there. This is a universal experience. Not necessarily like windshield wiper, frozen gas tank, stealing gas, getting pulled over by a cop. That is not necessarily something everyone can relate to, but in general, you 100%. Know, we've all been there. So let's talk about your training partner and buddy, Lucia Stafford.
Lucia Stafford is on fire. And if you're an avid listener of the show, you'll know that she ran a 4:05. Just over a week ago, and she
in the 1500,
and she followed it up this week with a 2:37.73. So Lucia ran the second fastest time in Canadian history, 1 kilometer history. And you know, some people are saying, you know, like what does Lucia eat for breakfast in the morning? Because I want some of that too. But I'll tell you what she eats for breakfast in the morning: hard work, dedication, and a killer instinct. This woman would rather die than lose, and she is such a fierce competitor. She's been having crazy good workouts. I know because I'm at them. And, you know, she's talked about this publicly a lot, so she, I'm sure, wouldn't mind me sharing, but she had years battling Graves' disease and really had a hard time getting her thyroid level stable. She had a procedure to get that dealt with once and for all. And, you know, that made for a really tough year and a half for her, sort of like 2018, 2019. But now she's reaping those rewards. And we are seeing the Lucia that was always in there, but was just sidelined a little bit. So this is, you know, this is not a flash in the pan. This is not a fluke. It's not an accident. This woman is a monster and is proving that.
Absolutely. And across like an insane range of events too. Like she's a stellar cross country runner. She, I think, you know, if she decides to move up to it, she'll be a great 5K runner. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool to see her just kicking butt at these shorter mid-distance races.
And like Lucia will go faster. Mm-hmm. She will go faster and I will go faster. And
yes.
Lots of other people will go faster.
And what's happening next for you guys? Is there another race coming up?
Yeah, there will in theory be an 800 in a few weeks. I want to regroup a little bit.
Good
I want to get some workouts under my belt to help my confidence because it's feeling not so high right now. But I think a couple weeks of good workouts, I will feel ready again to possibly tackle another K or maybe an 8. All good to look forward to. And there's another Stafford to talk about now.
Isn't there always? So Gabriella ran, I think, what the internet dubbed the best Rust Buster of 2021 in an outdoor meet. There was an outdoor track meet, Maddie.
I know. That's not that nice.
Oh, I mean, Arizona, gosh, people were in sports bras and the sun was out. And I was doing, while I was watching this race, I was preparing for my own run in minus 18 and snow. So that was a bit of a juxtaposition. Not that I was jealous at all. But this was the Prickly Pear Invitational in Arizona. It was a predominantly Bowerman Track Club group, although there were other runners as well. And Gabriella ran a 3K, a 3,000 meter, which is kind of a fun outdoor event. That doesn't happen all that often. It's a great outdoor event if you're like one of those mid to distance athletes, because it's like this time of year, a lot of people are really strong. So even if you're more of like a pure 15 runner, you're stretching yourself a little, but you probably got some mileage and it doesn't take as much out of you as a 5K. So it's a great, in my opinion, great outdoor distance. She ran an 8:38 3,000 meter, making her the third fastest Canadian woman in history. And the time is impressive, but the execution was so phenomenal.
Her last 150 was bananas. She made everyone else look like children.
Well,
like
she just sat like, so patiently. Bye. Yeah. And then took off. And she ended up closing in a 61 second final lap, which for the record is faster than most Olympic 1500s are closed in. Mm-hmm. And so it just shows like she can go so much faster in this event.
And she said in her Instagram post that last year was a difficult one. It was a difficult one for lots of us. She also experienced a move.
A big one.
This one from Glasgow to Toronto, virus related, Toronto to Portland. There was, you know, a lot going on for her in 2020. And so it's cool to see her come out of all of that change and obviously have trusted her gut and made a really good decision, because you don't run that fast by accident.
No, you don't. So her move to the Bowerman Track Club in Portland seems to be suiting her well. Very exciting to see. Maddie, do you know when she'll be hitting the track again?
I'm not sure on that.
Well, we will find out and let you know, listeners, whenever we're able to get some more intel. Another Canadian who ran really well, a little further away over the weekend, was Chuck PT, Charles Philibert Thibodeau. We talk about him a lot. He ran his second race of the season in Germany. This time he ran his primary event, the 1500 in Dortmund, Germany. He's posted up, I've been chatting with Charles a bit, he's posted up in at the National Training Center in Paris, which he said is absolutely amazing. Like they have this like, you know, world-class indoor 200 meter track with like a 300 meter flat track around it. And, you know, he also said it's been like 7 degrees and dry, so he can run outside comfortably. Yeah. Good call, Charles. But this was his second race. This was the World Athletics Indoor, part of the World Athletics Indoor Tour. And he ended up coming second again in a really tactical race. He ran 3:40 for the 1500, which is a great time. This is his first 15 of the year. His PB is significantly faster than that outdoors. But again, this was a real tactical race and he'll get some good World Athletics points for that performance. And then again, at the end of February, he's going to be going after the 5,000 meter Olympic standard at yet another meet in France. And he has said that his ultimate goal is to qualify in both the 15 and the 5,000 for the Olympics, so that he then has choices as to what he wants to run. That would be very nice.
There's going to be a lot of people qualifying in two events. Andrea has talked about
Gabriella.
Gabriella, Natasha, perhaps marathon and 10,000 meter. Cool to see. Very cool to see. Because like Andrea and Natasha were not in a position to qualify for two events in 2016. So a lot can change in 5 years.
Yeah. It shows that they're just getting stronger with age, which I love.
On to a, this is bonkers piece of news. Sophia Gorierin ran a world U18 800 meter record of 202.44, and she is only 15 years old. And she led this race almost wire to wire. She was just passed in like the last 50 meters, but this was gutsy. This was self-assured. This was like so impressive from a 15-year-old, from anyone, frankly. Opening, you know, an 800 meter indoors in 202, that's what lots of pros do. You usually take a few eights to get into the swing of things, but this was a super impressive run. Absolutely someone to watch. And yeah, just honestly really inspiring to see.
These young bucks are running crazy fast times.
Crazy fast times.
It's so impressive. Last week we talked about the British athlete, the 18-year-old who ran 159 flat in the 800. Now a 15-year-old is running 202.4. Our next piece of news, also from the American Track League, which is where this took place, was Hobbs Kessler, who is a high schooler and broke the U.S. high school mile record, running 357.66, broke it by about 0.2 of a second. I think he's only the 12th American man ever under the 4-minute mile as a junior. And he was in good company because he was just barely beaten by his training partner. We've been talking about young athletes. We'll go to the opposite end of the more mature athletes, who is Nick Willis, is Hobbs Kessler's training partner. And I have to read this tweet by Jonathan Galt because it's just a nice little like recap of what happened. So Nick Willis, again, we've talked about him before. He's a New Zealand athlete who has broken the 4-minute mile every year for the last 15 years. And Jonathan Galt's tweet said, Nick Willis broke 4 minutes in the mile for the first time on February 8th, 2003. Hobbs Kessler was born on March 15th, 2003. This means he is the first person born after Willis's sub 4-minute mile who's gone on to break 4 minutes in the mile. Kessler ran 3:57 on Sunday, and a 37-year-old Willis ran 3:56 in the same race.
Yeah, that's a lovely bookend.
So they trained together in Ann Arbor, and I think that Kessler was sort of a previously not well-known name, but he's certainly changing that now because I think we're going to see, again, speaking of like potential in our sport, I think we're going to see a lot more from him. So third piece of U20 news, Maddie, take it away.
A Ting Mo just continues her hot streak, running a 50.52 400 meter to become the second fastest US U20 woman in history over that event. This isn't even her primary thing. She's an eight girl. But you need to be fast at the four to be good at the eight, and she is exceptionally good at the 800 meter, and 50.52 is bonkers fast. Indoors. Wild. Wild.
So far this season, and again, she is a freshman at Texas A&M. So far this year, she has run a 201 flat 800, which was an American indoor U20 record. She has run a 125.8 600, which broke the NCAA record. And then including this past weekend where she ran the 400 in 50.52, that was the second fastest American junior time ever, behind Sydney McLaughlin, who has gone on to become one of the speediest women in the world. So speaking of making a name for yourself. So two more pieces of news that are not directly track related. The first is one of my favorite stories that we've covered in a long time. So there's this Norwegian runner who's also got a pretty big following on YouTube, and his name is Jonas Feld Sveldrud, and he has taken on a few different challenges during the isolation and quarantine of COVID-19. His most recent challenge for himself was to break the Guinness World Record for running the fastest barefoot half marathon, but here's the kicker. It has to be on either snow or ice. So this previous record was set at 2:16:34 by the Dutch athlete Wim Hof back in 2007. And anyone who is familiar with Wim Hof will know that he's known as the Iceman because he just takes on these incredible like subarctic challenges where he'll like submerge himself into like ice cold water or into an ice bath for 2 hours at a time. And he's like developed this breathing method to like help you deal with the cold temperatures and like control your nervous system. Anyway, he had set the record at just over 2 hours and 16 minutes. Jonas decided that his goal was going to be to do it in under 150, and he ended up running 144.58, which is a really impressive half marathon. He ran it by himself. He did a single loop course, and he said that he was inspired over quarantine by the book Born to Run, which is sort of like running lore, running Bible for a lot of people. And we'll attach the video of this, but he said that he did like a 5K test run. And he was like, oh, this is, I expected it to be terrible. It's really not that bad. Like your feet just kind of go numb and, you know, it's not that big a deal. And then he has photos of what his feet looked like after this endeavor. And I won't say anymore in case anyone is trying to consume any kind of food while they're listening to this podcast. But needless to say, we will post the video. Epic undertaking. And I really hope his feet recover because they did not look great at the end of this.
As someone who doesn't even really like clean, well-groomed feet, I don't know if these are my cup of tea. Though I respect the feat. Though I respect the accomplishment.
So in some somewhat hilarious cycling running crossover news, Maddie, have you seen this story about this pro cyclist out of Great Britain named Tom Pidcock?
Yes, I was actually made aware of Tom Pidcock on Sunday evening when the person I live with, my boyfriend, who is both a former runner, current cyclist, and a forever nerd, saw the results and said, "No way, Jose."
And why don't you tell us what you're referencing when you say "No way, Jose"?
So he ran a 5K.
This guy, Tom Pidcock,
who is a very, very good road cyclist, one of the best in the biz, rides for Education First, truly a remarkable athlete.
Right.
However, he ran a 5K and he ran on the roads. He ran a 13:25, which is a remarkable time. Dare I say too good to be true? Because, you know, a time like that would make him among the best in the business.
And for reference, when you say the best in the business, a name that most of our listeners are probably familiar with is Sir Mo Farah. And this would be 5 seconds faster than four-time Olympic gold medalist Mo Farah's 5K road PB.
Yeah. So as we know, GPS is not a perfect thing. You know, you can see from a Strava file that there are some unbelievable splits. I don't mean unbelievable as in fantastic. I mean unbelievable as in literally
not believable.
Do not believe. And I don't believe Tom was cheating or doing any of this intentionally. However, I think he probably still ran a really, really solid 5K.
Just probably not faster than Mo Farah. And 5 seconds off the British record on, like, what was it, 10K of running training a week? Something like that?
Even if it was like, you know, like glitchy up to 5 seconds a kilometer, you know, that puts him at 13:50, which is still really freaking impressive. Yeah. But it's not.
Right. Ingebrigtsen, Mark Scott, like all these names. You can find his Strava upload where it does show, like, I mean, it says that he ran that distance in that time. But as you said, Maddie, we know that GPS can be a little unreliable at times, and certainly when you pair it with this kind of result, it's kind of hard to believe that this is what actually happened. I do want to mention two things. I learned about this because I follow a friend of both Canadian running and Canadian cycling magazines, Mike Woods, who is a former Team Canada runner. In fact, he's a sub-4-minute miler. He is now a professional cyclist, and he is one of the co-founders of Mile to Marathon. So the guy, again, knows his stuff, kind of like Jeremy, runner, cyclist, really good at both, knows the sport well. I learned about this from a tweet by Mike Woods, sort of gently suggesting that this was not believable, not legit. But I will say that Mike Woods has, in response to this sort of Twitter thread blowing up, been really gracious and said, you know, I think someone tweeted back at him saying like, oh, this guy just lost so much respect because he's clearly like, you know, fudging his numbers. And I just want to quote Mike Woods as saying, absolutely no respect lost here. Big kudos for him for going out there and trying to smash a 5K. I love seeing athletes going out and doing something different. And that's kind of how I feel about it too. I think that this guy probably had no malicious intent. I mean, I don't know if this was a joke, but in Pidcock's Instagram post about his time, he makes kind of a joke saying, apparently this is very quick, 13:25 5K. So I don't even know if he really grasped the significance of that time. So I don't think he was trying to go out there and like dupe anyone. I just think it's not what happened. And in fact, we may get some more information coming in the next few days, because apparently Tom has posted that he is going to try this again in less than a week's time to redeem himself / prove what he's capable of. And we wish him the best of luck. But all of that being said, our staff writer, Ben Snyder McGrath, has written a fabulously sarcastic piece on our web, sort of equating this to, you know, when Britney Spears said she ran 100 meters in 5.97 seconds, which would be, you know, 4 seconds faster than the world record. Again, I don't think Britney was out there to try to dupe anyone. I think she just didn't know. So check out that piece by Ben. Take it as a tongue in cheek. It's a fun read. And keep following Tom Pidcock. Good luck to this guy. Let's see what he can do in his upcoming road 5K. On to our final piece of news, another happy baby story. Congratulations to Canadian sprint superstar Aaron Brown and his wife, Priya Milburn, who welcomed their first child, a baby boy named Kingsley, which is actually Aaron's middle name, just over 2 weeks ago on the 26th of January. And he is just cute as a button. You can go over to Aaron's Instagram account, KingsleySC, and check out photos of his little baby boy. He is a super cute little kid. So congratulations to Aaron and Priya. We're so happy for you. And we love these baby stories. So keep them coming. Keep having babies, people.
This was kind of the year of the baby.
It was. And it's like these little glimmers of light in COVID. Every time I see a new baby photo, it just makes me so happy.
Did you do anything fun over the weekend?
I started a new puzzle.
Whoa. What's on this one?
This is a Van Gogh.
Oh, very cultured.
Well, sort of. We've gone through all the like superhero puzzles and the galaxy puzzles and some of the ones that seemed a little more fun. Mm-hmm. And what I will say, though, word to the wise, if you are doing a puzzle that is a painting, particularly like a highly detailed, like a Monet, we have a Monet as well. If you're doing a Monet or a Van Gogh, because these are the ones that I have experience with, they will hurt your brain. They will drive you crazy because everything looks like everything. There's like three colors in this whole painting. And it's just shades of these three colors with no like distinct markings on them. And it's very, very, very challenging. But once you start getting the patterns down, you kind of like get a little section going. It's incredibly rewarding. So
you saying that you have experience with a Monet and a Van Gogh makes you sound like a truly amazing art curator.
I sound like I'm like visiting galleries and reading biographies.
In my time at the MoMA.
Yeah. No, I'm just doing 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzles on my table, my one table that I have in my apartment. Well, what are you most looking forward to this week?
I am most looking forward to... Okay, so I'm a really, really bad skater, like really terrible. I grew up downhill skiing. I did not skate. I went to the ski hill 4 days a week. I was not on skates.
Because you can only do one or the other.
Yeah, I'm Bambi on ice. Not good. But I am going to get over my fear and I'm going to go skating this week. And I am looking forward to improving. And I'm going to take a chair probably on the first day because that's kind of what I need. That's how bad I am. But I am, as an adult, going to learn to skate. And let me tell you, there are few things more humiliating
than bringing a plastic chair onto the ice rink with you
at 25. But I'm going to do it.
I respect the hell out of that. Good for you. Is this like a municipal skating rink or is this like a frozen lake situation?
Oh, we're just going to go down to Bayfront in Hamilton. Sort of the sewage dump by summer. skating oasis by winter.
It's kind of like the ski hills that were garbage dumps. I think that's kind of the equivalent. Well, that's very exciting. And it freezes over, eh?
Oh, yeah. There's tons of kids out there playing hockey right now. I'm going to literally have like 6-year-olds going like, later, loser.
Doing like pirouettes.
Yeah, totally.
Sweet. That's great inspiration, Maddie. Thank you. I'm going to try to do the same. We can share skating stories next time we're on the pod together.
Okay, cool. I'm going to have a super bruised butt and probably my story will be, ouch.
Where are your cycling shorts? That'll help. Kate, pad that butt.
That's genius.
There you go.
So, you know, if you enjoyed the scintillating content, return next week for Maddie's Learn to Skate program.
For the rundown, I'm Kate.
And I'm Maddie.
And we'll chat with you again soon.
We'll be right back.